Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. All three of President Joe Biden's nominees for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission are officially advancing to the full Senate. That's because on Tuesday, the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee voted forward Republican pick Lindsey C, along with Democratic nominees David Rosner and Judy Chang. As we know, the vote comes at a critical time for the commission, which could lose its quorum at the end of the month. That's something neither party wants. At the same time, if all three nominees advance, that could leave Democrats with a majority at FERC for the foreseeable future, even under a potential second Donald Trump presidency. Today, Politico's Catherine Morehouse and I talk through the confirmation paths of the three FERC nominees and why some industry observers remain at the edge of their seats. It's Wednesday, June 5th.
So all three nominees, Lindsey C, the Republican pick, Democratic picks David Rosner and Judy Chang, cleared the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and C and Rosner passed through 16-3, while Chang passed through 15-4. So there weren't really any major fireworks, but there were a few interesting comments that I'll just highlight. One comment that I thought was interesting was from Josh Hawley. He's a Republican senator from Missouri, and he voted against all three nominees and wanted to make it clear why. He said he was particularly disappointed in C, and specifically, he was upset that she did not give him the answer that he wanted on FERC's new authority granted under the bipartisan infrastructure law and later issued as a rule by FERC that gives the commission authority to override state rejections or delays of lines within select regions. So it sounds like he just wanted her to take basically a stronger stance against that rule there. Then the other comment that I thought was just really demonstrative of and summarized how lawmakers across the aisle and energy stakeholders generally feel was from Senator John Barrasso, who's the ranking member Republican from Wyoming. He pushed back against FERC's latest transmission policy, but he more broadly made the point that I don't agree with everything that all of these commissioners or all of these nominees believe on every issue, but I do think that keeping FERC functioning is just too important to get into some of those issues. And he said that he had a productive conversation with Judy Chang in particular, who's considered the more progressive candidate, and said he felt, you know, reassured by her answers. And overall just made the point that even though these are, again, three kind of diverse viewpoints that he doesn't agree with totally, these are all qualified candidates who will make a solid FERC.
Yeah, that is interesting. And on that, you know, even though some of these Republicans might, you know, disagree with policy elements of the nominees, they did, most of them, vote to move these nominees forward. So, you know, of course, a big part of that is the time element, all this, and how FERC could potentially lose quorum if Commissioner Allison Clements does leave at the end of June as she's scheduled to. So remind us kind of why people want to avoid that outcome and what the consequence would be.
Yeah, so if FERC loses its quorum, then everything just grinds to a halt, which is pretty much the worst case scenario for everybody, for lawmakers, for folks in the industry, the many industries that FERC regulates. For Republicans, it means that no new natural gas infrastructure is approved. It also means that the commission can't get to work on kind of wonkier things like compliance filings that are related to some of their major transmission rules that they've released. And that's a really critical piece of ensuring that these new rules they released actually get carried out across the country in the way that they're intended. And we're also expecting something toward the end of the year on interregional transmission, which is considered a huge piece of this kind of permitting and transmission puzzle that folks are trying to get figured out. So just generally, it's not good for the renewables industry. It's not good for the fossil fuel industry. It's not good for utilities, pipeline developers, what have you, that folks on all different sides of the aisle want to see work in different ways. And just the nation's power grid, it's not good for any of those industries if the commission just ceases to function altogether. So there's definitely been a really high sense of urgency around getting these nominees through the committee and then through the full Senate.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any sense of just how quickly these nominees will move to the full Senate and get the vote before the full Senate, given that time element? And do you expect any, you know, more pushback, or is it kind of how it went in committee, probably how it might end up on the floor?
Yeah, we don't know yet when the full Senate vote will be scheduled. And I think we can assume there will be maybe a similar level of pushback to the committee, just in the form of no votes. There were, again, at least four members who voted in the committee against these members. But I would say just generally that clearing the committee in a bipartisan manner is a really critical step, and that Democrats and Republicans are making concessions on both sides here. Democrats don't necessarily love Lindsey C., who argued against the Obama administration's Clean Power Plan successfully in West Virginia versus EPA. And Republicans don't all seem to love Chang, as I mentioned earlier, who's considered more progressive. But overall, it appears that this trio is really just balanced enough to inspire confidence that they will clear the full Senate. And the hope is, I think, pretty widely shared that we'll see a full FERC at some point this year.
And one interesting thing you note in your story is, of course, that should these nominees be confirmed by the full Senate, Democrats will actually have a majority at FERC, regardless if Trump wins the White House. Of course, the chair would be a Republican. But I mean, how does just having a majority enable Democrats to drive the agenda, if at all?
Yeah, so I'll just set the table with, of course, FERC is not Congress, so it's less of a radical difference in terms of what quote unquote party controls the commission. And so I'll kind of walk through what would happen if Trump wins the election for FERC. So if Trump wins, he'll be able to name a new chair once he's in the White House, which would presumably be current Commissioner Mark Christie or Lindsey C. if she is confirmed. That would put a Republican in charge of the agenda, but Democrats will still have the majority. Again, because this is FERC, an independent agency, not supposed to be partisan, even though certainly been accused of becoming more partisan in recent years, there are a wide array of agenda items that just will happen under a FERC that is evenly divided, regardless of what party controls it. And again, you would have a Republican controlling the agenda. So that person presumably wouldn't put anything forward that won't get approved by the full commission. The core functioning of FERC will continue to go on as it does, kind of regardless of who holds the majority of power in the commission. And the other thing I would say is that with FERC, things tend to depend more on the individual commissioner than pure party lines. And we just don't know exactly how C and Chang and Rosner will come down in some of these more contentious issues. So it really does come down to a case-by-case basis in some instances based on the personalities and the backgrounds and not necessarily based on the party. So we'll have to wait and see is the bottom line.
Also, the Senate confirmed Nuclear Regulatory Commission Chair Christopher Hansen to a second term on Tuesday. His reconfirmation will allow him to continue guiding the agency, which is in the middle of critical rulemakings aimed at bringing more nuclear reactors online. The move also comes as lawmakers are expected to try and resurrect efforts to reform the NRC more broadly and make the regulatory process for new reactors more efficient. One last thing. Politico hosts our second annual energy summit today, Wednesday, June 5th. Here, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, White House Climate Advisor Ali Zaidi, several members of Congress, and more discuss how governments are writing and rewriting new rules for the energy future in the U.S. and around the world. You can learn more and register at politico.com/live-events. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron, who is innovating to help responsibly meet rising energy demand across their U.S. operations, like at their Gulf of Mexico facilities, which are some of the world's lowest carbon intensity operations, helping supply energy that's affordable, reliable, and ever cleaner. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/meetingdemand.